From Seinfeld to chatty TV news anchors to all talk radio, we're constantly surrounded by banter. And according to our linguist Jeff Nunberg, that could be one reason for the current popularity of email.
The dawn of theater, they say, was when the Greek chorus split into two groups who alternated speaking. One sings, "Woe, woe for the frenzy of Ajax," and the other sings, "A terrible business, terrible." The Greeks had a word for this, stichomythia, which means roughly speaking in turns. It isn't a word I've generally had a lot of use for over the years, apart from a brief turn or two just after the movie Mighty Aphrodite came out. But I find it coming to mind a lot these days whenever a new batch of email is dumped over my transom. This all began with a feature that email systems describe as include message in reply. You tell the mailer to reply to a message, and it gives you a window that contains the original message indented or set off with carrots on the left margin so that you can insert your responses or comments wherever appropriate. The feature does have its downside, particularly when people don't keep a judicious pinky on the delete key. X sends a long inquiry to Y, and Y adds some remarks and forwards it to Z, and Z adds his comments and forwards it to you, each of them including all the previous messages in successively deeper rows of carrots along the left margin. When you're reading the thing and trying to find the part of the message that's intended for you, it can feel like eating an artichoke. But it's a small price to pay for the charms of the feature in personal mail, where you can repeat a snippet of your correspondent's message and interpolate your own remarks. A syntax ready-made for banter. The messages go back and forth with carrots and indentations piling up, and you and your correspondent come to feel you're making a little work of art together. It's what conversation would like to be if it only had a room of its own to repair to. It lets us all play Seinfeld writers with half an hour to figure out just what Jerry should snap back to George at the coffee shop. That's why the reply feature of email has been such a success. It was dropped into an age that was already obsessed with banter. You think of all those saucy radio DJs, the happy talk news programs, the political discussion shows where pundits snarl put-downs at each other. It's not an accident that the characteristic slang of the age consists almost entirely of a repertory of sardonic retorts. Whatever. I don't think so. Hello. In the end, email may be the most important literary form that we can hope for from electronic life. People keep waiting for the moment when our major literary genres will move to an electronic medium. Migrate is a word you hear a lot in this context, as in when the novel has migrated to the screen. It's not likely to happen that way, though. You encounter a traditional novel online, it feels like running into Alexander Solzhenitsyn in a 7-Eleven near his house in Vermont. And in any case, when new forms of art do emerge, they tend to grow out of the humdrum and marginal uses that a new medium is first put to. That's how the novel itself first got going, with its roots in popular genres like broadsides, newspaper stories, and above all, the personal letters that people started to exchange furiously as soon as the first public postal services appeared. Of course, email doesn't have to turn into anything grander for us to enjoy its modest virtues, the pleasures of merely circulating, as the poet called them. As forms of art go, it's probably no more than we deserve, in an age where Howard Stern passes for a master of badinage. The most we can hope for from a technology is that it will give expression to the sensibilities that are already in the air, the way the novel gave voice to the 18th century bourgeois fascination with the language of private life. That's what gives email its stichomythic charm, is that it gives us a template for our raillery, the carrot and the shtick.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.